Welcome. Today we're diving into a topic that many people have heard of but may not fully understand: osteoporosis. We'll break it down in a way that's easy to follow, whether you're a patient or just someone curious to learn more. The information shared in this deep dive comes from orthoeducation.com, a free, high-quality, peer-reviewed resource designed to help patients better understand musculoskeletal conditions. Please remember, this deep dive is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with a musculoskeletal problem or have concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional. Okay, let's unpack this osteoporosis. Lots of us know it's about weak bones, right? But what does that actually mean day to day?
Right. It's not like your bones are just solid rocks. Think of them more like a busy construction site, always building up, breaking down.
Okay, like remodeling.
Exactly. But with osteoporosis, that balance gets thrown off. The breaking down part speeds up and the building up slows down.
So the bone gets less dense.
Precisely. It becomes more porous, almost like a honeycomb inside, instead of being really solid. And that fragility, well, that's the problem, makes them much more likely to break, sometimes from really minor things.
And here's the thing that's, well, frankly, a bit scary. Often the very first clue someone has osteoporosis isn't, you know, an ache or something you feel.
It's the break itself.
Yeah, exactly. It's often a silent condition, creeping up for years until maybe a simple fall, or I've even heard a strong cough.
You can happen.
Can lead to a fracture. That's why it's so, so important. The recommendation is anyone over 50 who breaks a bone, especially from something low impact, really needs to be evaluated for osteoporosis.
That's a key takeaway.
Definitely. And you might wonder where these fractures tend to happen. We see them a lot in the wrist, maybe catching yourself during a fall.
Uh-huh. Common one.
Also the shoulder, the hip, which can be really serious, devastating even, and particularly in the vertebral column, those bones in your spine.
And what's fascinating there, or maybe sobering is a better word, is how much impact those spinal fractures, the vertebral ones, can have.
More than just a simple break.
Oh, much more. We often think, okay, broken bone, it heals, you move on. But with these osteoporotic vertebral fractures, the effects can be really long-lasting. They can really change someone's life.
How so?
Well, for instance, they can lead to that noticeable stooped posture, you know, sometimes called a dowager's hump. An actual measurable height loss over time.
Wow, losing inches.
It happens. As the vertebrae compress, they shift. And beyond how it looks, these fractures often cause chronic pain, sometimes shooting pain.
Because of nerves.
Exactly. A nerve in the spine can literally get pinched by the compressed bone. That's not just uncomfortable, it can be really debilitating. Makes daily activities hard.
I can imagine.
In some bad cases, it might even mean needing extended bed rest to recover. And for older adults especially, long bed rest isn't harmless.
No, it carries risks.
Big risks, like deep vein thrombosis, a DVT. That's a blood clot, usually in the legs, that can travel potentially to the lungs, which is life-threatening.
Gosh.
So yeah. Understanding these impacts really shows why osteoporosis isn't just about one broken bone. It's about this potential cascade of health problems that can really reduce independence, often before someone even knows they have the condition.
That really does drive home how serious and insidious it is. Definitely a wake-up call. But let's rewind a bit. Let's talk about how bone density naturally changes, because this is where it gets really interesting, I think, and where prevention starts to make sense.
Good idea. Our bones aren't static at all.
Right. They're living tissue.
Mm.
I like that construction site analogy, constantly renovating. You have cells building new bone, osteoblasts, and others breaking down old bone, osteoclasts.
Bone remodeling. It's happening constantly.
And we generally hit our peak bone density, like the strongest and densest our bones will ever be, somewhere around 30 years old.
Right, when we're probably least focused on bone health.
Isn't that the truth? Busy with careers, maybe families. But it's actually a critical time. The more bone mass you build up by then, it's like having more bone in the bank for later.
A good way to put it.
Because after that peak, as we age, the balance starts to shift the other way. Bone breakdown starts to happen a bit faster than bone building. So density naturally begins to decrease.
That's that part's normal aging.
It is. But it's the rate of that decrease and how far it goes that determines if it becomes a problem.
Exactly.
Now, this is where it gets concerning when that natural decrease crosses certain lines. There's a term, osteopenia. It's basically like a warning stage, a precursor to full osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm. Sort of a yellow flag.
Yeah. It's diagnosed when your bone density is between 1.0 and 2.5 standard deviations below the norm being a healthy young young adult, someone in their early 30s at peak density.
Standard deviations just measure how far you are from the average, basically.
Right. So osteopenia means you're dipping into that lower than average zone for bone density. It's a heads up, indicates higher risk. But if that density keeps dropping and it falls 2.5 standard deviations or more below that young adult benchmark,
that's the threshold.
That's when you get the diagnosis of osteoporosis. So it's not just that bones get less dense, it's the specific degree of loss and often the rate it happens that signals osteoporosis and that much higher risk of fractures.
And if we connect that to the bigger picture, it just makes it crystal clear why getting older, increasing age is, well, it's the single biggest risk factor for osteoporosis.
Makes sense. Everyone ages, and that natural decline happens.
It does. But age isn't the only player here, and it's not the only thing we can potentially influence. Hormones play a huge role. Massive. Especially for women.
Menopause, right.
Exactly. There's a well-known, often quite rapid drop in bone density linked to that big decrease in estrogen levels after menopause. Estrogen is protective for bones. It helps keep that remodeling balance in check.
So when estrogen drops,
bone loss can really accelerate. Now, men aren't totally off the hook. Falling testosterone levels can have a similar effect, though it's usually less severe, less pronounced than with estrogen loss.
Okay, so age and hormones are big ones. What else contributes?
Well, several other things are pretty significant. Vitamin D deficiency is a major one.
Why vitamin D specifically?
Because you absolutely need it to absorb calcium properly. Calcium's the main building block for bone, but without enough vitamin D, your body just can't use the calcium effectively, even if you're getting plenty in your diet.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then there's smoking. Smoking is just bad news for bones. It directly harms the bone cells and can mess with hormone production that protects bones.
And alcohol.
Excessive alcohol consumption, yeah. That's also detrimental. It impairs calcium absorption, slows down bone formation, and, you know, also increases the risk of falling.
Right, the fall risk itself.
And sometimes, it's just in your family history. There's definitely a hereditary link.
Yeah.
If your parents or grandparents had osteoporosis, your own risk is significantly higher, knowing that family history is really valuable information.
That's important to ask about.
Absolutely. And what often surprises people is that it's not just an older person's condition. Certain younger groups can be at risk, too.
Like who?
A key example is female endurance athletes, especially those pushing their bodies really hard. It can be part of something called the female athlete triad.
I've heard of that. It involves eating issues and period stopping.
Exactly. Osteoporosis, disordered eating, and amenorrhea. That's the absence of menstruation. The low calorie intake and intense training can cause estrogen levels to plummet, kind of mimicking menopause, leading to premature bone loss.
Wow. In young athletes.
Yeah. Another group at higher risk includes people with chronic kidney disease. Kidney function is vital for activating vitamin D and balancing calcium and phosphorus. So kidney problems can directly impact bone health.
It really shows how connected everything is in the body.
It really does. Issues in one system can definitely affect others, like your skeleton.
We've been exploring the intricacies of osteoporosis, drawing insights from the free and peer-reviewed patient education website, OrthoEducation. At www.orthoeducation.com is a fantastic resource for learning more. So given everything we've discussed, its silent nature, the risk factors, if you, the listener, or someone you know might be at risk, how do doctors actually figure it out? How is it diagnosed?
Well, the main way, the gold standard, is by measuring bone mineral density very precisely.
And how do they do that?
We use a special kind of X-ray machine. It's called a dual energy X-ray absorptiometry scan.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a mouthful, so we usually just say DVA scan.
TVA scan, got it. I think I've also heard it called a DEXA scan.
Yes, that was the older name, still widely recognized. Oh. DEXA or DVA. It's a quick scan, doesn't involve any injections or anything, and it gives a really accurate picture of bone density.
Where do they usually scan?
Typically the hip and the spine, because those are common fracture sites, and give a good indication of overall skeletal health. The results come back as a T-score, basically comparing your density to that healthy young adult baseline we talked about.
Okay. Is that the only way?
It's the main diagnostic tool, but doctors can also look at certain biomarkers in the blood.
Biomarkers? Like what?
These are substances that can give clues about bone turnover, how fast bone is being built and broken down. They aren't used to diagnose osteoporosis on their own, but they can add to the picture.
So more information.
Yeah, they can help see if bone loss is happening quickly or track how well treatments are working. It complements the DVA scan, giving a more dynamic view of what's happening at the cellular level in your bones.
Right, that makes sense.
Which really leads to the crucial question, doesn't it? Once you know, or even before you get to that point, what can actually be done about it? How do we prevent or manage osteoporosis?
Yes, the actionable steps.
And honestly, the simplest answer is that prevention is the best, most straightforward way to treat osteoporosis. Lifestyle choices are incredibly powerful here. They're your first line of defense.
Like quitting smoking.
Absolutely. Smoking cessation and really limiting alcohol intake. Those are fundamental based on the risks we already discussed. They help your bones and your overall health.
Okay. What about diet and exercise?
Hugely important. Maintaining good nutrition is critical. We talk a lot about calcium and vitamin D, and for good reason. Adults generally need around 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams of calcium daily.
From things like dairy, leafy greens.
Exactly. Milk, yogurt, fortified non-dairy milks, greens like kale, spinach, some fish, and vitamin D, about 600 to 800 international units daily for
Yeah.
most adults, is essential to actually use that calcium.
Can't forget the vitamin D.
Nope. And don't forget protein either. It's a key part of the bone structure itself. Then there's movement, regular weight-bearing exercise.
That counts as weight bearing.
Things where you're supporting your own body weight against gravity. So walking, jogging, dancing, hiking, even climbing stairs. Strength training with weights is great too.
Why weight bearing specifically?
Because it puts a healthy stress on your bones. That stress actually signals the bones to get stronger and denser. It follows something called Wolf's Law bone, adapts to the loads placed upon it.
Interesting. So swimming or cycling wouldn't do the same thing for bones.
They're fantastic for cardiovascular health, but they don't provide that same direct bone-building stimulus because they're not weight-bearing in the same way. And another crucial piece for preventing fractures is working on balance.
Prevent falls.
Precisely. Things like Tai Chi or even simple exercises like standing on one leg can significantly improve balance and reduce your risk of falling, which protects those potentially fragile bones.
Okay, so lifestyle is huge for prevention. What if someone already has osteoporosis?
Then medical treatments come into play, and they can be very effective. Medications like bisphosphonates are quite common.
How do they work?
They essentially slow down those osteoclasts, the cells that break down bone. This helps stabilize or sometimes even slightly improve bone density. And crucially, they significantly lower the risk of having another fracture.
Are there other types of medication?
Yes, there are other options too. Some medications, called anabolic agents, actually stimulate new bone formation. Hormone therapies might also be considered in specific situations. A doctor figures out the best approach for each person.
And what about physical therapy? Does that play a role in treatment?
Oh, absolutely. Physical therapy can be incredibly helpful. A good therapist can help with posture correction, teach safer ways to move for daily activities, and design specific exercises to boost balance and muscle strength.
Directly reducing fall risk again.
Exactly. Which, as we said, is often how these fractures happen in the first place. So ultimately, whether you're focused on prevention, managing osteopenia, or treating diagnosed osteoporosis, the key is working closely with your healthcare team.
Your primary care doctor or specialist.
Yes, someone knowledgeable about bone health or osteoporosis management. It needs to be a coordinated effort to create a plan tailored just for you, considering your specific risks and needs. That ensures the best possible care.
So after this deep dive, really digging into osteoporosis, what does all this mean for you, the listener?
Well, I think the big takeaway, considering that a broken bone might be the very first sign, it really shifts how you might think about proactive health, doesn't it? We've talked about hitting peak bone density relatively young, around 30, the hormonal changes later, all those lifestyle factors. So maybe the question to ask yourself is, what steps can you take now, starting today, to actively understand and protect your own bone health? Even if you feel perfectly fine right now.
That's a powerful thought.
Maybe it's asking your doctor about screening. Maybe it's taking an honest look at your diet or activity level, or just being more conscious of that bone bank concept. Are you making deposits or withdrawals? It's really about being informed and taking ownership of your long-term health.
We have just discussed osteoporosis based on information from the free, easy-to-understand patient education website, OrthoEducation, available at www.orthoeducation.com. Please remember, this deep dive is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with an injury or have concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional.